Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Amen from DontParish.com. Hey, today we're going to go through the second segment of the Proverbs 31 woman that we're going through. The last time I did one, it was verse 10. And we learned that a virtuous woman is a strong and mighty one. And a little bit contrary to what today's definition of virtuous means. So as we go through all these, we're going to see what kind of woman she is. And yeah, these are awesome to do. I'm really enjoying doing them. So anyway, we're going to get to it. Today, I think we're going to do verses 11 and 12. So I'm going to start with reading those verses. And then, like we did the last time, we're going to go through some of the key words and break it down and just share some thoughts. So Proverbs 31, 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so let's look at some of those Hebrew words like heart. So heart would be the inner man, the mind, the will, the understanding. You know, I really love going into these words because it just builds such a bigger picture and gives you more depth. And so we can kind of see that the heart would be the core of who we are, like way inside what we're made of, you know. And let's see, what would be the next one? Safely trust. So the heart of her husband doth safely trust her. And safely trust would be like refuge, confidence, and secure. And so I like that, refuge. That's pretty big. Like a refuge is a safe and secure place. And like one we can count on, you know. It's like us in our van, and maybe you have those places, a quiet place where you can retreat from everything. It's safe, it's secure, you can kind of count on it. You know you might be having some peace there. And so that's what her husband has, that in her. That's pretty awesome. I also like the word confidence in there too. So he has a secure refuge that he can be confident in her. So that's awesome. And let's see, the next one would be spoil. That would be like prey, plunder, spoil, booty. So that isn't necessarily a good thing, depending on what the situation is. And I wanted to get a bigger picture of what that spoil means, so I looked up some of the other scriptures on that word. And here's just a few that give us a better idea. Genesis 49:27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. That would be like what's left over. Numbers 31:11. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. Deuteronomy 20:14. But the woman and the little ones, and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, thou shalt take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given me. And if you do a word search in the Old Testament on spoil, you're going to see that it's often like referenced when it comes to war or battle. And it's kind of like what's left over. So we look at this and we see her husband isn't worried about anything like that. You know, a war and then having spoil afterwards. He's got a safe place to trust in her, doesn't he? And another thing that we see with that spoil, it's kind of like defeat. You know, somebody takes what somebody else had, you know, and that person is defeated. So another one of the reference words, when you look in the spoil and then it gives you other reference words in there, it means to like strip. And it also said prey. And so I was thinking about that. Prey would be kind of like, I don't know, maybe a lion going after a baby zebra. You know, you look at that and the contrast of that, it like, yeah, that's pretty big. And another one for today would be like a false teacher going after the soul of a new believer and destroying them with false doctrine. And the predator is the false teacher and the prey is the new believer. You know, that's some pretty serious stuff. So if we look at what her husband has, no need of any of that. He has no worries of any of that. That's pretty big. So, all right, let's move on. And we're going to look at the word good. That would be pleasant, agreeable, bountiful, gracious, kind, excellent. And that's a lot of words to describe good. And once again, you know, I'm always going to encourage you to go do your own word searches on there, and you get to see the depths of it. But one big one here that I thought kind of really summarizes what good is when God says something's good. Genesis 1:10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Yeah, so that's the same word that God uses for what he created. Good. I don't know, to me that's pretty big and it gives me a really good picture. And now, evil. That's another word in that verse. So that would be bad, adversity, hurt, mischief, disagreeable, displeasing. And there, once again, we get a bigger view of what it is. And here, I'm going to share another Genesis example right from God himself on what would be evil. Hold on. Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So right there, it's like dark and light, good and evil. We see the total contrast of it. It says a lot about it, doesn't it? So basically, those are what I'm seeing as the keywords in it, and I thought we'd go over and see the depth of it all, kind of like I did before. I'm going to read the passage again, and then I'm going to read it with what the deeper meaning is to kind of give us a little bit better picture of it. So, verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And now let's read it with the meanings in there. The heart or inner man of her husband does safely trust and have confidence and be secure like in a refuge in her so that he shall have no need of spoil, prey, or plunder. She will do him good and be pleasant, agreeable, gracious, and not evil, mischief and adversity all the days of her life. Oh, wow. So that's a man that can trust his wife. That's pretty awesome. That's what a godly woman. I want to be like that. She's not going to do him evil all the days of her life. And, you know, when I think about that, she knows everything about this man, and she could destroy so much about him if she wanted to. But he has no worries about this woman because she's a godly woman who fears the Lord. You know, kind of like we were talking about that, and we're going to find that out at the end of these verses, too. And even so, if a woman's not married, she still needs to cultivate or work on being a good example like that, so that way those who are in her life can trust her the best way that she can be a true godly woman like that. She can't really influence people who are in her lives, but they can certainly see that and maybe see what that's like. So she just has to try to do that the best she can is what I'm trying to say. And she's also going to keep herself pure for her husband if God has one for her someday. And that way, him being the husband, if there is one, he's not going to have to deal with the ramifications of what she's done to herself by keeping herself pure. And so this is like a really great expectation of a godly woman, that she conducts herself in a way that her husband can safely trust her, you know. I don't know. That's pretty big to me. And bigger than that, it's not just, I guess I'm trying to, here, hold on a second, I need to look at something. So even bigger than that is, she's not doing him evil any days of her lives, but she's also got many other characteristics that are going to help build that up. You know, like having a meek and quiet spirit, submitting to him, being kind and gentle and long-suffering. And that's kind of like the fruits of the spirit that we're all supposed to have anyway. And so we could just go read that. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Let's read about the fruits of the Spirit that we all should have. But this will help build up a safe refuge and a trust of a husband toward a godly wife. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So she can have all those traits also, and it's not going to stop there, because let's look at something else. I lost my reference here. I got the verse. Hold on. Okay, in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So she's killing her flesh and she's preferring others over herself, and that would be her husband and her family and those who work with her and people who are going to be influenced by her. And she's not selfish and wanting to live her own life, and she's dying to herself and she's living for Christ. And so I also want to read verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So she's walking in the Spirit, not the flesh. And by doing that, walking in the Spirit, you know, if we saints, we sister saints do that, it allows us to become the woman that we're learning about her as a good example. And verse 26, I'm just going to keep going here. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. And I'm going to go somewhere with this when it comes to a husband or wife. Provoking means challenge, irritate, or contest. So here's another thing that's going to build her up where her husband can trust her, is she's not going to provoke her husband into arguing or causing issues. And even if he tries to provoke her, she's going to kill her flesh and do her best to try not to retaliate. And something else to think about, having this trust from a husband can take a lot of time, especially if you came from the world and that's what he knew you as, a worldly woman. I always have a hard time saying worldly with the L and the D and the L. But anyway, I know all about that. I was a worldly woman. Brother Tupos was a worldly man. And when we started growing in Christ, we just knew each other from who we used to be. So when we would see a new characteristic and a new trait in this other person, we would give God glory for it, but we would also watch and wait and see if it's consistent and if it would build upon itself like all these characters and traits that we're looking at. So anyway, I'm just trying to say it could take a lot of time, you know, for him to trust his wife, you know, being the new woman in Christ. But we just be diligent every day and patient. And one more thought, I was thinking about this, not doing evil to him would also mean not talking about him behind his back. You know, we get a lot of women who will try to contact us and they'll cut down their husbands, whether they're believers or not. And we don't allow that to go on because that's sinful. And I encourage women that godly wives need to be focused on what God would have us do in our life and how to be a godly woman, and let the Lord take care of whatever her husband's doing or not doing. We need to focus on who we are and what we're doing. Anyway, so I think that pretty much wraps it up. We see what a godly woman should be and shouldn't be doing, right? And so praise God we can have this truth and all the examples to follow after. And you know, I really love digging into these because we can learn more depth, and it's a good reminder and oftentimes a conviction for us. So all right, let's all strive for those traits. Amen, sisters. And let's see, I think we're going to do verse 13 and 14 next time. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, sisters, strive on. May God be praised.